Oh, don't believe your lying eyes. Everything here is fine. You just have sniffed too much of the Seattle spirit. And I can tell you're Bogarten. Don't tell me you're not Bogarten. The Seattle spirit.
The city is firmly behind solutions. And I think if they see solutions working, they're going to support us in the solutions.
If they see solutions working, they're going to support us in the solutions because we've got data that says the data we gather says there's a whole lot of data in the data that we gather with the data. Jelly Durka. This was an amazing moment in media. It really was. A woman who was elected because she's a woman and gay and not overtly insane, with no discernible evidence of being able to lead, goes on the TV with Michelle Millman from Cairo 7. So Michelle Millman did something really smart, really clever. She walked Jelly Durka by...
Don't drop that Durka Durk. Hey, don't drop that Durka Durk.
That mansion, the homeless mansion where the folks moved out from West Virginia. Why work? Why pay rent? Build us up here a 5-6-bedroom shack. Go out and grill the steak and the lobster. Now they got a keg of beer out there out front, laying around in the sunlight, enjoying the largesse of Seattle. She walks Jelly Durka by there, past the tents. There's the mansion. Jelly Durka supposedly making a statement about the latest, well, no, not the latest attack, one of the recent attacks where the crazy guy living here, a street person who believed he was going to marry Ellen DeGeneres, saw a young guy walking with a girl, said, "That's Ellen DeGeneres," and went and tried to strangle the guy with a rope. Jelly Durka says, "That's extremely rare." Well, except for the Father's Day attack, and then the lady getting her nose busted on her porch, and then the rapes at the car lot, the attempted rape at the Golden Gardens. All that's extremely rare, but not as rare as it used to be. So outside this mansion, Jelly Durka pretends that the people living in that mansion just need some beds.
I'm working really hard with mayors from the region, with Dow Constantine, with the governor and others, so we get long-term affordable housing.
I pointed out the encampment across from Cairo 7, near where an Arizona tourist this month was strangled with a rope, allegedly by a homeless man. The mayor told me Seattle sees 40 million tourists come through every year and that attacks on them are rare.
We've got to make sure we get more money for mental health. We get more money for addiction services. We have more places to move people, because I think at the end of the day, everyone in Seattle wants to see the same thing. We don't want to see people living in tents.
Except the people living in the tents want to see the people living in the tents. And until they're forced to not live in the tents, they're going to live in the tents. What say you, Mike O'Brien?
As a city, we have no
plan. That's what I was thinking. Maybe the interim director of SDOT. They have to move these people around. Any thoughts?
I assume it was not a con job.
Well, it was. It was a con job. So you can assume all you want. It's very, very, very clearly a con job. Now, we hear about all these numbers that we're going to spend all this money, right? That this is going to turn the tide. That Jelly Durka just needs more beds.
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Really? Well, there is a lot of phony math in the area. And Jelly Durka is a member of that phony math. Let's follow the dollars of the bouncing money. You know the tiny shacks we have. You know what the concern is now? They're going to set up the tiny shacks. Want to know what those don't count as? Shelter. According to federal regulations, you live in a tiny shack, you're still unsheltered. Would that mean we get more money? They're still unsheltered. Some activists say, no, it means we get less money. Because they're not sheltered. But those are activists who actually don't build shelters. So for following the bouncing ball, taxpayers from Idaho and Iowa and Redmond and Issaquah, your tax dollars, federal-like, are coming pouring in here. Now the concern is, wait a minute, if we put people in the shacks, in the tiny houses, do we still get our yum-yum from the federal government? Jay Inslee, thoughts?
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
That's what I was thinking. On your grandchildren, where it belongs. How could you believe such a thing makes sense?
Based on ideology and politics rather than the facts on the ground.
I was kind of figuring you'd say that, Gov. Welcome up from your nap. Nighty-night. Back to sleep now, Jay. Nighty-night. So you follow that bit of dancing money. And HUD, by the way, the Housing and Urban Development people at the federal government have said, your approach is wrong. Keeping people in parking lots is wrong. And not putting people in permanent housing is wrong, but people don't want permanent housing. Because you know one of the things that comes with the permanent housing is rules. And we know how this area feels about rules.
Amazon is ISIS.
Right. When you're willing to think that Amazon is ISIS, you don't believe in any form of rules. What about you, Sideshow Bob? Any thoughts?
The law matters. It's not an abstract notion, the law. The law has a huge impact on the people of this country, and that's why upholding the Constitution matters so much.
Really? So then the trespassing laws matter. The drug laws matter. Stopping people from shooting up matters and not conning HUD matters, right? Sideshow Bob, part-time attorney general. Let's follow the bouncing dollars a little bit more. One of my major frustrations as I leave the city, and I want you to know, I would never use my cell phone to film this. I would never be driving down the road using my cell phone filming empty buses. But somehow the video makes its way onto my phone. Every night I leave here and I see double-decker buses and they say down next to them, terminal. Or I see double-length buses out of service, headed to the terminal. There's the bus driver up front of an empty bus. Now, I'm a weirdo because I look at that and say, you know what? I think people could ride that bus. I think the last stop could be the place where the bus goes, the terminal. That could be a bus stop, I thought, in my brain. But then you wouldn't get the federal dollars. Once again, Goran Sparrowman, interim director of SDOT.
I assume it was not a con job.
Well, but it is a con job. Let's follow the money. Guess what the city gets paid for? Driving the buses. Empty or not. Federal cha-ching. So if you live in Pierce County and you think this stuff doesn't matter to you, guess what? That federal tax money you pay is pouring into King County. For folks who listen outside the area on the podcast or stream us in Ohio and Texas and Arizona, North Carolina, and you send me these notes and you say, hey, thanks for warning us. Well, now I'm telling you, you're paying for some of this stuff. You're writing checks for some of this stuff. Now, here's a crazy thing about these buses. The person per bus average is going down. This is an interesting statistic. In the 2013 national database of transit buses, they had 39 seats. They carry an average of just 11 people, and those numbers are going down. The numbers continue to go down. Transit continues to die around the country. Why? Uber, Lyft, work from home. But we're told this is the way of the future for energy. Want to know what? Because of the dropping numbers and the size of these great big buses, buses burn on average about as much energy per passenger as an SUV.
It is an act of war to invest in white supremacy and terrorism with this bunker.
And with these SUV-like buses, I might add. An act of war. Oh, but it gets worse. Transit apologists say that empty buses are a sign of social good. So why are the buses empty? Because just like Smack Daddy Dow Constantine can't serve the disabled people with King County Metro. He's under federal, well, not he, but the agency's going to get busted by the feds because they keep having developmentally disabled adults waiting at the bus stop at night trying to get home. Trying to get home from their job. The buses don't show up. But the hipsters going hiking on Tiger Mountain, oh, those are on time. And Smack Daddy Dow Constantine tweets about them. Why do they do that? Because they want the empty buses driving around the rich neighborhoods. Just in case a rich person dropped the car off at BMW and they did not have one of those courtesy cars. So you see it, so you're willing to pay the taxes. As a matter of fact, the money is fascinating. The reason the big buses are empty, the reason they don't buy smaller buses, the reason they don't buy these little vans that could drive around, the reason you see double long buses empty through downtown Des Moines and Burien and Issaquah is because the government writes big checks for big buses. The federal government. And it's easier to get big checks for big buses than little checks for little buses. Cha-ching, mama. We loves our money. That's the Seattle spirit for now. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show and dive into the breaking news on a national basis. That beard Trey Gowdy's growing, That ain't a joke. That's got them all Billy Goat mad. Pretty sure we banned this song. That's okay. I'll give young Tom a break. He's going to go beat me up in the workout. Young Tom's been making a lot of noise. I'm going to take the old man out. Old man's got no game. Stronger than the old man. Oh, we'll see how it works when we put it on video, big boy.
As we speak. The Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
And Trey Gowdy's head is it's not breaking open because he's letting the words fly. Trey Gowdy is really upset at the Inspector General. Don't worry, we'll get to the border stuff. We're working at the details. I may have a debate with Dave Ross. 4:15. I don't know if it'll be a debate. I'm just going to ask him to back Ted Cruz's proposal and hold. And Dave might say, okay, back it and hold. So I know there's some people who get hot and bothered about Dave, but he might come on. Got guests in the studio, JJ from Burien, texts in from time to time, his daughter Nicole. They won a bidding war at a private school to be here today. Congratulations. Good to have you here. Trey Gowdy over the Inspector General report asks one of the most brutal questions. You have got to hear this. This may be one of the two most important things said in this entire mess, this kabuki theater, this pretend investigation of Hillary Clinton. Okay, so he's in the DOJ. He's questioning Horowitz, the IG, the Inspector General of the DOJ. You could look at him as people look at him as a human resources director. Remember this, where you work, your human resources director is good for you, probably helps you out with insurance things, but their loyalty is to the company, just like Horowitz's loyalty is to the DOJ.
How in the hell was Jim Comey able to draft an exoneration press release 6 weeks before that interview took place?
I think it's clear from looking at what we uncovered that by that point in time, they had largely concluded what they had concluded.
Question is, if what you're missing was knowledge and or intent, and the single best repository for that evidence is the person you've yet to talk to, how in the hell can you make that conclusion?
I'll give you what the answer was that we got back, which was, of course, we kept open the possibility that we would find some evidence that would change that view. That was the explanation we were given.
If that were true, did you find drafts of inculpatory press releases?
We did not.
You found no memos or drafts where he had decided to charge her?
That's correct. We were told, by the way, by the prosecutors, as you see here, that they did not draft anything until after the interview, precisely because they wanted to wait before making a final judgment for the interview.
Isn't that what we normally do? Wait until the last interview?
Imagine that, waiting until you interview the target of the investigation. Did you draft the memo just in case Hillary was charged? Oh, we knew she wasn't going to be charged. Congressman,
we were advised that they had looked into that possibility.
IG Horowitz, during the same hearing, did the guy who ran this investigation, the Clinton investigation, Jim Jordan asks, does he hate Donald Trump?
Does Peter Strzok like the president?
I can only speak to what his text messages say, and they're obviously not positive comments about the president.
February and March of 2016, Peter Strzok said, Trump's abysmal. Trump's an idiot. He's a bleeping idiot. Hillary should win 100 million to zero. Sounds to me like he hates the president.
His text messages would certainly leave that.
That wouldn't! But there was no bias that affected the investigation, though they didn't write an inculpatory, which is a word I didn't know until Trey Gowdy brought it about. They did not write a memo saying, oh, well, maybe she'd be charged. Gowdy, again, perhaps the most important thing you'll hear in this entire discussion. I want you to remember where you were when you heard this. There's some radio host. He's like a rodeo clown, 3 to 6 p.m. on KTTH. He's been talking about a low-trust society, and people have been saying, you're over the top. You talk about your low-trust societies. Trey Gowdy.
There is a saying in the courtroom, may justice be done though the heavens fall. You won't hear that saying in politics. You're more likely to hear, let's win at all costs, the heavens be damned. We can survive with politicians we don't trust. We can't survive with a justice system we don't trust.
Exactly right. You know what's less scary than Russia hacking our elections? The FBI hacking your vote. That should scare you more. We should expect our enemies to try to overturn our elections. We should expect our enemies to try to overturn the vote. The day we begin expecting the nation's largest law enforcement agency to overturn our votes is the day democracy really is dying. You know, the media has one drum. They beat the drum. They beat it constantly. It's combined. It's purposeful. It's distracting from the IG report. It is a made-up bit of outrage. And everybody agrees, nobody enjoys seeing kids torn from their parents. But how about the words of Rodney Scott, Chief Border Patrol Agent, San Diego? He discussed what it's like dealing with migrants, they're called, or illegal immigrants, under the age of 18. He says that the children who are actually related to the adults, they get processed together.
If there's any suspicion that they're not really truly related to those people, then they will be separated for their own safety. If we believe they're part of an actual family group, when we process them in our facilities, they stay together.
And to the Democrats who are saying Trump can change with the stroke of a pen, right? He can stop prosecuting people who break our laws. He can stop prosecuting people for crossing the border illegally. He can say, okay, I'm buying into the heads you win, tails I lose phenomena, but he's not doing it. And you have been cruel. You have been lenient when you should be firm. When you are lenient, when you should be firm, you will eventually force others to be cruel when they should be kind. Nobody wants to see the kids separated, but there's a message getting through. On MSNBC, I talked to an illegal immigrant.
If you would have known it was a possibility that they would have been separated from you, would you have come?
No.
No, she wouldn't have. Cruel? No. Right now, we have been so lenient for so long, the system's been tried so much. The ACLU and open border zealots have gone so far. Take your kids. They can't say no. You've got your kids. I want the families back together. But how about this? My mild proposal. We don't process amnesty claims for illegal entry. Sorry. Go to a port of entry. Go to an embassy. We don't process them here. That message will get out too. And the coyotes will have to invent another way to get the kids in. Todd Herman Show will continue. Believe it or not, I have words of praise for something that happened at the MTV Music Awards, and I may need the help of a teenager to tell me who this cat is. This cat named Chris Pratt said some things I think make a lot of sense. Maybe the teenager knows. Maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she'll be afraid to go on the mic. I hear she's got a conservative heart, leans a little conservative. Now she's starting to freak. Oh, she's fleeing the studio. No, you're not. Want to cause you any angst or concern, any fear. But the word of God, the name of God was spoken in Hollywood, invoked in a speech by a guy named Chris Pratt. So Nicole, her dad spent a lot of money to win a little auction to come in to visit in the show. So Nicole is a performer. She should be okay. She's not yet vomiting. She's a teenager. So you can tell us who Chris Pratt is, who gave this this incredible speech. Who is Chris Pratt, Nicole?
Chris Pratt is an actor.
Yeah. Don't read from Wikipedia. Who is he?
I'm not.
All right, okay.
Some of his most famous movies are Guardians of the Galaxy and new Jurassic Park.
So he's not the Star Trek dude?
No.
Because he looks like the Star Trek dude, who's also named Chris, right? The guy who plays Kirk?
Don't watch Star Trek.
See, that's a problem. So we're going to have to correct that just a little bit. So listen to this. Keep your headphones on. This is one of the things he said at the MTV Music Awards.
God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do. Number 8. Learn to pray. It's easy. and it's so good for your soul.
So you were searching this, and you used, I think, your dad's phone or your phone, something to search it. What's the first thing that came up? Do you remember?
Yes, it said that his speech was bonkers.
Yeah. Bonkers. And that came from Mashable, right?
Yes.
Right? So West Coast sort of tech entertainment blog. What's your response to this as a teen girl? Well, an MTV Music Award, hearing something like that.
I was surprised. That doesn't seem like something that would be said in Hollywood. But I was glad to, read it because I didn't watch the award show.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting that from someone giving an award show because that's usually frowned upon.
By whom?
By, the media to talking about Christianity in a positive way.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. Now, do you think that a guy like Chris Pratt has the capability to influence teenagers in a good way?
I do think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that more people in Hollywood should try to be good influences?
Absolutely.
Do you think they owe it to people?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, why do you think they don't?
Because they might get fired.
They might get fired, or maybe they're afraid.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that stars are incredibly self-confident. Many of them are as the least confident people you'd ever meet in your life. They need the approval of others, of other human beings. All right, do you want to say anything controversial? Do you have any controversial opinions as a teenager you want to share? Like go Trump or anything like that?
Go Trump.
Okay, see? That's what we're talking about. All right. Congratulations on getting into here. Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks very much. So they won a, they battled. In fact, they battled another great listener of the show, Rance, I know from Twitter. Not Jason Rance. He bid to be on the show too, but come on. I'm not letting Rance in here. So Chris Pratt in this speech said something else that's remarkable. He made some jokes, and the jokes are actually pretty funny. He said things like, don't be a T-U-R-D. If you're strong, be a protector. And if you're smart, be humble. Be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons. Do not wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully. Be bigger than that. He said, when you give a dog medicine, put the medicine in a little piece of hamburger. They won't even know they're eating the medicine. It's damn good advice. Then this. Number 5. It doesn't matter what it is, earn it. It doesn't matter what it is, earn it. A good deed. Reach out to someone in pain. Be of service. It feels good and it's good for your soul. And you heard what he said about the Lord. God is real. He believes it. He also spoke of the soul. This isn't Hollywood. This isn't MTV. Do you remember years ago when Ashton Kutcher went through that speech where he spoke his real name? My name's not Ashton. He spoke his real name. He spoke about sweeping floors. He spoke about working hard, being a janitor, being proud of any bit of work. This is a trend. There are some strong men in full coming out of Hollywood. Strong men. Chris Pratt. He gave this list of Chris Pratt's advice for life. Number 8, learn to pray. It's easy and it's good for you. And finally, number 9, and this is the one that's so fascinating in Hollywood. Nobody is perfect. People are going to tell you you're just perfect the way you are. You're not. You're imperfect. You will always be. But there's a powerful force designed to make you that way. And if you're willing to accept that, you'll have grace. And grace is a gift. And the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that grace was paid for with someone else's blood. And do not forget it and do not take it for granted. These are the words of a strong man. Our imperfections. Now think of it this way. This is me, not Chris Pratt. Our imperfections make us the puzzle piece that we are. When we are experiencing our imperfections alone, it leads to depression. We hide in our houses. We experience our depression. We experience our anxiety alone. We're puzzle pieces, all of us. We are, from a Christian perspective, we're part of a body, right? And from a Christian perspective, the body of Christ, but broken apart. And here we are together, all members of a body, or you might think of us as cells. A single cell will not flourish. Cells joining together can join in a common function, or think of it this way, as a puzzle. If you look at a puzzle piece in isolation, it looks like a broken object. What is this thing? None of the lines make sense. Nothing lines up. It doesn't look linear. It doesn't look like it makes sense. It doesn't look like it has a place in the world. and you take other puzzle pieces and you put them around, and if they don't fit together, they look commonly strewn about. They look to be a common phenomena of strewn about. They have no place to go. They perform no function. But when these broken puzzle pieces come together with their weird angles and their weird shapes, when they come together, they complete each other. They complete the picture. It is our imperfections that, in fact, allow us to bond as human beings and allow us to bond from a spiritual perspective as a body of Christ. And Chris Pratt sort of touches on that imperfection. The pursuit of perfection by yourself will never work. You'll never get there. This is the big emptiness of Hollywood, the pursuit of perfection alone, but with someone else, joined with a strength and a weakness from an Eastern philosophy, the yin and the yang, from a Native American philosophy, the moon and the sun, in a constant chase of, in a constant race to chase each other, only sometimes catching up, and in that moment, magic in the sky. From other perspectives, a great joining together spiritually, mentally. And for Chris Pratt to speak this in front of an MTV audience on the same night that they gave awards for the best fake kiss, happened to be a gay fake kiss, that they gave that award for the faking of coming together, for the faking of completeness, for the faking or the portrayal of having joined with another. It's an interesting juxtaposition. That's the danger. The danger is people actually discover the secret. The danger is people say, wait a minute, why are we not joined? See, this is the divide and conquer. This is one of the reasons I speak of a spiritual battle. This is one of the reasons I look at the left. I look at the hardcore left. I look at the new left. I look at the militant left, and I compare what their fruits are. The fruits of their labor, intersectionality. Let's run all groups against this one group. Let's scapegoat, because that's been fun in history. One of the funnest times any nation can have is when you start scapegoating a certain racial group. That always leads to good times. Good times. The same left that is outraged that families are being separated is the same left using intersectionality to scapegoat an entire race and a gender of people, breaking us apart, breaking the puzzle apart. The fruits of their labor are grievance merchandising, grievance mongering. It is focusing not on our perfection together, but our pain apart and keeping us apart and separating us and isolating us so that we feel the pain. We feel isolated. We don't feel part of the whole, and we do not feel part of a nation. Nations require borders. They also require the ability to realize, man, are we getting played? Boy, is there a long con on. It requires that. Love to hear your thoughts at the text line, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. I'd love to hear your thoughts about what Chris Pratt said. And does this make you happy to hear it in Hollywood, or do you remain cynical? Oh, don't doubt me. I remain cynical about Hollywood in whole. But can a Chris Pratt, can an Ashton Kutcher, could they actually turn that behemoth that has become a pretty evil behemoth? Todd Herman Show will continue. We'll dive into just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news-like items laid out, as you know, into a patent-pending audio feng shui mode. And don't you dare try to violate that patent. I'll have a lawyer come down and crack you on the noggin. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Let's roll into this here thing that we call...
Just a few more things.
As you can tell between the Jethro Tull music, that's just a few more things. We take news-like items. We lay them out on a whiteboard. Last night, Tom, the producer, and I were here until 3:30 in the morning working on this for you because we number the items. That's the hard part, is the numbering.
Thing one.
So Disney has issued a warning about The Incredibles 2.
It's got lots of action and there's flashing lights, so much so that Disney actually had to issue a warning after viewers said it could trigger seizures in people who have epilepsy. One person posted these images to Twitter of the warning signs at theaters. The Epilepsy Foundation even responded by saying it appreciated the efforts theaters have made by posting those warnings.
Now, look, having grown up next door to a guy with epilepsy, it's nothing that's funny. But do you remember when Kramer had the seizures because of Mary Hart's voice back on Seinfeld? Where he'd fall into a seizure anytime she heard he heard her voice? Right. It's been happening in pop culture for years. But what about different sorts of warnings in pop culture?
Thing two.
We'll take that on now. TNT has a television show. And on that television show, and I'm not certain I want to say the name of the show, but I guess I'll identify. It's called Claws. This is how they talked about aborting a child. A woman was talking about, what if I'm carrying the next Barack Obama? What if I, my baby's to be the next president of the United States? Should a warning go before this?
God is good. He heard our prayers.
We still DNC that.
The cheering you hear in the background is we DNC'd that B word. A baby in the womb. DNC'd. That'd be an abortive procedure. Should there be a warning about that? I mean, it's not going to cause seizures. But how about a broken heart? Did for me. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing three.
What about a warning of weird language by a senator of the United States, even though he's doing a good job in the IG hearing? Senator John Kennedy, is he quoting Ted Nugent when he uses the phrase Wang Doodle? And is that allowed on the Senate floor?
Do you believe in the tooth fairy?
Nope.
Do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
Nope.
Tom, we don't have him saying Wang Doodle. He said Wang Doodle. God is my witness. The man said Wang Doodle, and it's not in. It says right here, Senator Kennedy says Wang Doodle. We didn't get the Wang Doodle part. That requires a warning, right? You know what? I made an executive decision. I am refunding the price you guys paid to listen today. It's free. Well, not you guys. You guys won an auction. You still have to pay. Next up, just a few more things. Wang Doodle. Is that allowed?
Thing four.
Lester Holt. Talking to a guy who risks his life to walk the border. He risks his life to walk the border where cartels are trying to ship cocaine into our country, trying to ship human beings into our country. Whereas, you know, Barack Obama allowed Hamas to continue to ship cocaine through tunnels and across the border because he was busy working on that deal with Iran. Lester Holt, a TV star making millions of bucks a year, walking next to a man who risks his life to guard this border.
Do you feel like the bad guy in this to some extent? I mean, you are the instrument of a policy that is obviously very controversial right now.
I feel that the option of not doing anything is going to worsen this situation. So I think we have to work with what we have right now and hopefully get the immigration laws redone.
Now, Les, let's you and I have a chat. You ever feel like the bad guy who for 8 years said nothing, who for 8 years sat on your manicured hands with that man ring and the pinky ring? And don't tell me you ain't got one because I've been in a room with you, Les. Maybe you're the bad guy. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
Jimmy Comey. Hey, Jim. What should we know about Hillary Clinton?
I don't want to criticize her, but it shows me that even at this late date, she doesn't understand what the investigation in her case was about.
Huh, neither do I. Because I thought it was about whether or not she broke the law. I thought it was about whether or not she illegally placed classified information in an insecure location where it is legally not supposed to be, and whether she shared that with Anthony, let me take my shirt off to text a 15-year-old girl in London, and what are you wearing, by the way, Wiener. I thought it was about her giving her lawyers who had no security clearance access to classified information, not to mention her bleach bit server guy, not to mention Cheryl Mills, not to mention her daughter and everyone else. I thought it was about 1,500 national security felonies. That's not what it's about. This will be the first time in history I've ever said this. I think Hillary's right. I have no idea what that immigration or that investigation was about. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM with, believe it or not, even more local outrages.